When Congress fails to pass a budget on time, as it does seemingly every year, agencies can find it hard to plan and hard to carry out the plans they've already made. A case in point, the Census Bureau. Because of budget uncertainty, it's rearranged plans for testing operations and systems in 2017 as it gets closer to the big show in 2020. Joining me with more, the Associate Census Director for Decennial Programs, Lisa Blumerman. Ms. Blumerman, great to have you on.
Great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
So your memo of just a week or two ago says that you are suspending testing in, I guess, Spanish-speaking areas and tribal areas with non-traditional addresses. What's going on? Why not do that this year?
Really, due to the budget uncertainty we face for fiscal year 17, we had to make the difficult decision to stop work on the field components of the two 2017 census tests. This means that we've really prioritized the resources we believe we'll have to ensure that we can test the system of systems that will support the self-response data collection component, but we can't field the field component.
In other words, you're worried that if the money doesn't come through to support all of it, you could be almost in an anti-deficiency situation.
That's certainly factored into our decision, but really the issue is about ensuring that we're using the resources that we believe we'll have appropriately and that we can adequately test what we must test, what we know we need to test. And we made the decision to stop work on those things where we have a little bit more experience, where we feel that we can incur the risk.
So let's get a little more detail on the things that you absolutely have to test in 2017. I presume that's to stay on track for 2020.
Sure. Our first priority is ensuring that we stay on track for 2020, that we're able to field a successful end-to-end test next year in 2018. And for us, that really means focusing right now on the work we need to do on the self-response component of our internet data collection. So we are still going to field a 2017 census test, but that 2017 census test will focus on a national self-response sample. It will focus on people receiving invitations to respond to the census test over the internet. We'll use the internet component of our system of systems, our suite of systems for the census. We'll field that in a cloud, and this will be our first environment, our first test to field this in the cloud. And we'll also test for the first time our new Census Questionnaire Assistance Center.
So when I hear internet response and cloud, I'm hearing some really new things that sounds like you really want to make sure are absolutely buttoned down.
The reality for us is that internet self-response is something that we've been doing at the Census Bureau for a few years now. We have great experience with it, but what we don't have experience with is our new internet data collection form. We made a decision last May to move for the census to a hybrid solution of COTS products and in-house solutions, and this will be our first opportunity to test that new system of systems.
So when you say end-to-end testing, what is the definition of that?
So for us, end-to-end testing is ensuring that all of our business rules and our system of systems work and have been thoroughly tested from start all the way to finish. And I think what's really important to remember about that is that when people think of the end-to-end test, they assume that that's the first time we've tested it. The reality is that we're going to do plenty of testing of our systems as we build up to the end-to-end test. The end-to-end test is the first time we put it into a large-scale production environment.
So it's almost like doing a mini census.
Absolutely. The criticality of the end-to-end test is the timing. We have the end-to-end test planned for fiscal year 18. It actually starts at the end of this coming fiscal year with our address canvassing operation, which is the first out of the gate. We'll be testing the complete suite of systems for the census, and we'll be finished in enough time to allow us to refine the census design before the 2020 census goes live.
We're speaking with Lisa Blumerman, the Associate Director for Decennial Programs at the Census Bureau. What is new about this upcoming 2020 census that was not in place for 2010?
The 2020 census is so exciting to me. We've really taken a hard look at the census design. We've looked at the areas of census taking that are major cost drivers, and we've re-engineered the census. We're looking at how we count the population differently, how we establish the frame differently, how we manage the workload and our caseworkers. It's an exciting time for us.
Now, will there still be enumerators that'll have to go on foot from to and fro in different neighborhoods?
Absolutely. You know, the census itself consists of many phases, but when we're talking about counting a population as large and diverse as that in the United States, almost 330 million people, we go through several ways to engage and motivate them. We'll start with self-response, where we give the entire population a chance to respond, and we hope they do. We hope they go to the internet. We hope they fill out their census form online, and we thank everyone for that. If they don't want to use the internet, they'll have the opportunity to respond to the census over the telephone. And if they don't want to use the telephone, they'll still have an opportunity to send in a paper form. But for those households that don't respond that way, we will still have enumerators that during a period of time will go out and walk the streets and go door to door to ensure we have a complete and accurate census that counts everyone once and only once and in the right place.
Will the enumerators have mobile devices?
Absolutely. This is one of the things we've been working on and testing over the last few years. Their data collection application will run on a smartphone. What we're looking to do with the census and what we've successfully tested in our 14 census test, our 2015 census test, and our 2016 census test is that we can use existing technology and use those applications to help us collect that data. So we're innovating, we're not inventing, but our enumerators will have the smartphone.
And on the internet, what is the mechanism in place to make sure that people only do get to count themselves once?
Yeah, so security is paramount to us. It is with all of our collections. There'll be several different ways that we do that. For most of the population, when they are invited to respond to the census, they'll receive a mailing invitation that will have a unique ID. They can log into our internet application and supply that ID. That ID will allow us to link their information and know and validate that information and know that that's the household that should respond. For those households that maybe didn't receive an invitation letter or maybe are out and about doing something, but then remember that aha moment, it's time to respond to the census. They can respond without that identification. If they do that, we'll do some work on the back end in our data processing to validate those responses.
Now, getting back to the testing that you're going to postpone for budgetary purposes, Spanish language testing and the tribal addressing, what's involved and how will you get that done?
What's most important to us for this year was really looking at what we needed to test to ensure we were ready for the end-to-end test. So we focused the resources that we believe we'll have on those areas. Certainly the testing that we had planned in Puerto Rico and on the two tribal lands was critical. In Puerto Rico, it really allowed us to get out and test the unique address styles that they have there, as well as to further refine our Spanish training, our Spanish language instruments, etc. On the tribal lands, we were really looking to test procedures that we call update enumerate. This is where address lists may not be as strong, and we need to send an enumerator at the beginning to go out and update the address list and enumerate, so count the population while we're there. Both of these are areas that we have experience with, not as much as we would have liked at this point in the decade, which is why we had planned the test, but we felt we could mitigate that risk. We're hopeful that if the budget allows, we'll be able to include those sites in our upcoming end-to-end test.
And how do you count people that are homeless? Because they are counted.
Absolutely. We count everyone that's in the United States. We have several different ways that we count the homeless population. It's, of course, challenging. We work with community organizations to identify areas where they exist. We work closely with those organizations so that we can go when they're most likely to be there. And then we field very specialized operations to send enumerators specifically out to count those populations.
So you really count noses one by one at some level for at least some people.
Absolutely.
And how many languages does the census operate in?
We haven't determined the final language count yet for this census. We'll be doing that in the next couple of years. Right now, we're planning for our internet collection form to be available in many, many languages. You'll recall in the 2016 census test, we actually had four languages: English, Spanish, Korean, and Chinese. Those languages were selected because of the universe where we were. Those were high language groups. So what we'll do is look at the language needs in the United States and we'll make appropriate decisions as close as possible so that we can ensure everyone can respond the way they want to respond.
So are you pretty confident that you will come in, well, it's got to be on time, but within the budget constraints that the director has promised Congress?
I feel very good about the research and testing program that we've done, all of the innovations that we're putting in place. We have refinements still to do, but I feel good that we'll be able to avoid about $5 billion in cost savings for the American public with this census design. Of course, it's contingent upon us being able to continue to test and continue to refine that design as we get closer.
And we should let people know you're speaking from New Zealand right now. And tell us a little bit about what's going on there.
Absolutely. Thank you. I am. I'm in New Zealand this week, essentially participating in a community of practice with other national statistical organizations. So I'm meeting with my census planning colleagues from New Zealand, from Australia, from the UK, from Scotland. And we're all getting together talking about the lessons learned in their recent censuses, where we are in our planning, and what's yet to come.